Hello, this is Julian Gurnham from St. Columba's College in Dublin in Ireland. Look at our English department blog, sccenglish.ie, for more. Welcome back to the Patterns of Poetry series, which I started in September. We're now back after our half-term break, and 10 days ago it was beautiful here in Dublin, the sunniest October for 40 years, according to the Irish Times. It was the very best type of Irish weather, crisp and clear and bright. In a word, autumnal. Now things are very different at the start of November. As I speak, outside it's gloomy at 3 p.m, with great sheets of rain sweeping across the sky. So this seems an appropriate time to talk about something that we see every now and then in a poem, foreshadowing. This is a technique that stories use frequently, but I'd like to take the opportunity now to look at how it operates by using probably the greatest English poem about this time of the year, John Keats's Ode to Autumn. As with all the works in this series, you can read the poem by clicking on the link in today's post for the 3rd of November 2010 at sccenglish.ie. To Autumn was written in September 1819 and published in 1820. Foreshadowing is really one form of something that poets use all the time. That word pattern is useful here. Less fancily, hints could do too. In foreshadowing, we see an example of the suggestiveness that is at the heart of all good poetry. I've stressed from the start of this series that poets are ultra-careful in constructing poems, in patterning them, and that as readers we need to be hyper-aware too, alert to all sorts of suggestions. To Autumn starts, famously, richly, deliciously, season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatch eaves run, to bend with apples the mossed cottage trees, and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core. This is so gorgeous and luscious that it can lull us into an expectation that the poem will be a warm bath of poetic comfort. But even within these opening lines are the seeds of something else. The cottage trees are bent with apples, the fruit is ripe to the core. So what happens next? And in the second last line of this first stanza, he writes that there are more and still more later flowers for the bees until they think warm days will never cease. So they think they will never cease. This is a form of irony, since we, unlike the innocent bees, know that these warm days are not too far from ceasing. What is being foreshadowed, in a subtle way, is of course winter. You might also like to listen to the second talk on titles for some comments on foreshadowing in Robert Frost's poem Out, Out. The second stanza of To Autumn presents the season personified in several ways. Listen to talk 4 about personification. Again, there are hints of what is to come. The swathe and all its twined flowers are spared from the hook, but for how long are they spared from death? And at the cider press there are the last oozings. However, it is in the final stanza that the poem hints at a darker future. Where are the songs of spring? Aye, where are they? Think not of them, thou hast thy music too. Well, you can't not think of something when someone tells you this. There are no lovely songs of spring now. Instead, a wailful choir, with small gnats mourning. The landscape now has stubble plains. And the final line reads, gathering swallows twitter in the skies. A sense of plenitude in the opening has been reduced to twittering. The swallows are gathering, for what? Well, for flight, for an ending. In Andrew Motion's words, Keats enlarges a sense of abundance by blending it with the certainty of decline and loss. We can't read To Autumn without being conscious that next comes winter. And this poem is all the more poignant, because, like its companion odes to the nightingale and On the Grecian Urn, all written in an astonishingly few months in 1819, it deals with time and the fragility of living things. And its writer, a young man in his mid-twenties, would be dead of tuberculosis within 2 years. Winter would come terribly rapidly to his own life.